Welcome to Guts Church On Demand. And now, let's go on demand with Pastor Bill Shear.
Man, I've got a good word for you today. I'm excited. I'm really excited about this time just because, as everybody's well aware now, we're coming up on 20 years as a church. And it's been an amazing, amazing ride. It really has. It has, for 20 years, it seems to me, and I'll tell you, Sandy could fill in a lot of the gaps and, But for 20 years, to me, we've been kind of in the left lane. I mean, just getting down the road and helping people. You know, this church, from the very inception of the church, it started as a church to reach young people. And the reason was, is like, it wasn't this bolt out of the blue that hit us about, it was simply, man, the church really is absent in reaching teenagers. This was over 20 years ago. You know, most churches didn't have thriving youth ministries, which now is a minimum requirement of a church, right? But back then it was, oh my gosh, they were kind of in an old classroom and they had little Moses caricatures on the burlap, the felt characters that were stuck to the burlap, and because the kids had used it in the previous service or whatever. And what we did is we aimed our just the ministry of the gospel as a local church toward young people. Well, you know what? Other people started coming. So we became kind of a church. And I'd never heard this term before. I'm sure somebody had used it before, but not on a big scale. And we started using this term, unchurched, where we were a church designed to reach the unchurched, people that weren't really attracted to church. That's the kind of church that we wanted to be. Well, you know, after 20 years now of this, it's interesting because that's the only way to do church now is to reach out and for us to understand that Jesus said, you send a doctor for the sick, not for those who are well. And the church, we're bringing Jesus into the picture for sick, hurting, desolate people, people that their lives are fragmented, and of the 100-piece puzzle that their life is, it's become shattered, and they bring in like 7 pieces of their life. And what we want to do is we want to be a church that no matter how many pieces of your life you have with you, man, I'm telling you, God can fill all things in all and make your crooked places straight, and be a light under your path and a lamp under your feet. But you know, it all started with vision. And I remember that we had these kind of here launch meetings of the church, and we didn't really know what to do. So we had friends that said, man, why don't we just invite some people to our house and you could just express your vision, cast your vision. And I remember thinking, who cares about my vision? I don't. And it's funny because the very first one we did at a buddy of mine's house, Gary Cruz here in Tulsa, Sandy and I just cast a vision and people started weeping. And I was like, wow, this might be powerful. You know, so vision is critical. And the personal vision, and I'll tell you what's interesting, is my vision to serve God, it has become my personal vision over the years. It's really what I'm all about, is that vision. And I believe, and I know this to be true, that a clear vision and a strong culture wins, period. It really does. It wins. Because we as Christians, no matter what you're facing in life, okay, here's what the promise of the gospel is. No matter how you feel, no matter what's there, man, as Christians, losing's out of the equation. You don't get to lose anymore. You have lost the right of losing. But see, so now what you're left with, you're still left with 2 options. One option, of course, is to win. The other option is to quit. And I'll just tell you, it comes in different forms. And there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. I'm not saying any of this for you to, if the idea of or the remembrance of you quitting comes up in your heart, it's not God today. Anything that's condemning or scolding, man, it's not God, it's the enemy. See, what this is all about, the the segment of life that I'm in right now is, man, it's all about clear vision and a strong culture. And the culture that we're gonna live by is we're gonna live by faith. We're gonna live by trust. We're gonna live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. You know, 33 years ago, a man asked me, Bill, do you want all of God that you can get? I'd just given my life to the Lord. I was green as could be in it. And you know, I said, yes. And you know, I'll tell you, it was one of those things that marked my life. Have you guys had any experiences like that where somebody asks you a question and you're like, oh my gosh, that's such an awkward question. Yes, I want all of God that I can get, but it marked your life. Have any of you guys had that kind of experience in life? Have you had that kind of occasion? Well, let me just tell you, I'm in one of those right now. I'm not like searching for who I am. I'm not trying to find my identity. I know my identity's in Christ. And I know that I walk on this earth as the apple of God's eye, just like you do. Man, if God be for me, who could be against me? See, that's who we are now. But I understand this, that I've got the big thing about vision, here's what's big, is with vision comes responsibility. And you know, we live in a time now, we live in a society today where people aren't held to responsibility. People aren't held to accountabilities even down the road, but to be responsible for who they are. You know, it's interesting. If my life were a pie chart, and you'd come to me and you'd say, okay, Bill, what part of this chart are you responsible for? Well, there would be no lines in it, all of it. I'm responsible for my life. I'm not going to give the responsibility of my life over to anybody. I'm not going to give the responsibility of my feelings or my emotions or even, listen, how or what I think to other folk. You know, there's people that come up and you're not going to hear me say, well, you, Eric, you hurt my feelings. It's like, you don't get to hurt my feelings. Or you made me feel bad. It's like, well, hold it. I'm not giving that responsibility over. Because listen, really, I'm not talking about responsibility in a sense where you have to pay for something, because you know, in this kingdom, we don't get to pay. It's awkward. We have already been paid for. So really, I'm talking about it's not so much responsible, but it's answerable. See, it's funny because we live in a society where you're not answerable for it. I told this story at 9 o'clock about Nina wrecking my brand new truck 5 years ago. She had a light pole in the back parking lot, and her first thing was, oh, Pastor, I take full responsibility. I said, I know, you were driving. That did not mean she was gonna pay for it. She was like 14. She was older, but she's a kid. And in our hearts, they stay little, huh, Sandy? That's what's wrong about this church being 20 years old. These kids we were ministered to are balding now. It's like, and I'm just supposed to take it. But she said, I take responsibility. And responsibility just means she's answering for it. She's not making any excuses. And that, I think, is a big problem in America, in the body of Christ today. Who do you answer to? You know, as kids, where were you? Who were you with? Remember? I'm not coming in going, hey, did you have a blast? Oh, where were you? Who are you with? Who do you have in your life that ask you, hey, what'd you do last night? Where were you last night? Justin, who were you with last night? Who do we have in our lives that even, Earl, what'd you do last night? I mean, it's not like Monty, where were you last night? I mean, it's not like we got that because it's like, it's none of your business. It's like, wait a second. The Bible says this, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of a friend. Man, I think that people live in the depths and live in indebted to the world so much because they don't have that contact-making, friction, spark-flying, iron-sharpening iron. And let me just tell you, it's a necessity in our lives. Because what we have to have is we have to have an answerability about our lives to each other. Paul went so far as to say we are living epistles read of all men. That means our life is an open book. An open book. I don't want it to be. You don't want it to be. Man, I want to be guarded. I don't want to be vulnerable. That's one of the hardest things about what we do in ministry. And I'm just speaking for Sandy and my children and friends, and is that it's just, oh my gosh, we're so vulnerable. Man, I look at it and it's like, so I've got to put all my trust in God. And then the vision, you know, in Habakkuk, God says, look, write the vision. Make it plain, okay? But listen, writing the vision, it's just you being accountable to it. See, because if you write it down, it's no longer just a thought that you had. If you write it down and you publish it, which is what it's saying to do here in Habakkuk, you write it down, you make it plain so that those running by can read it. Now it's plain and simple and out there. But let me just tell you, it's God's plan. See, we've got to be proactive in this. And I'm just telling you, God is giving you right here and right now where you are in life. This is a timely word for you. I know it's God inspired because I can't shake it. There's a preferred future, a picture of a preferred future that God's put in your heart. And let me just tell you, that's what we have to start aiming at and not giving anybody else responsibility for it. And I've chosen, I've picked four things just in the vision for my life. The vision for this church is to build something great. That's the vision for my life. And let me just tell you, naturally, I'm not much of a builder. Although I did hang, and I just deleted the picture. So Sandy, you might Twitter the picture of two pictures I hung at our house, perfectly straight, perfectly balanced in the room. And I didn't even use those deals that I have a power tool. It covers up the hole I made in the first one because it was set on a too high a setting. And when it went, and it was like a hole this big, I was like, I'm fessing up, Sandy. But perfectly straight, but I'm not a builder. Yet, let me just tell you, I want to build something great. That's a vision for my life. I want to include people. I want people to be a part of it. A lot of people. You'll say, well, you're just a numbers guy. We'll get over it. I'm not apologizing about it. Man, my whole idea, you'll say, okay, what's the objective of this church service? Fill the dadgum room. I just want to fill the room. Oh, really? What then? Oh, really? It's easy. It's because it's two parts. Then I want people to come back. Because if people come back, I think we can help them. Man, you get the word repeated in people's lives. You know how you guys, how many of you guys still hear things in these services for the first time? It's the first time I ever heard that. Can I see your hands? The awkward part is when you don't, it isn't that so much anymore. I mean, I think Scott, who's so faithful, he's at so many church services, he's heard every story I have. But you know what? He came up to me a week or two ago and said, man, you said something in a service that I never thought of that before. It's the first time. You know, it blessed me. It helped me. But at some point in this race that we're running, man, you're not going to hear things for the first time. It's like, oh my gosh, I remember as a church the first 7 years, everything we did, it was like it was the first time we ever did it. Oh my gosh. So you're always wondering if you have the tools and you have the resource and you have the understanding and you have the knowledge for whatever, for everything that we did. But what's bad now, 20 years later, nothing. I mean, it's like, oh my gosh. So the expectation now is it's going to be bigger than the last time because we know how to do it now. And let me just tell you, that's where maturity has to kick in. When the honeymoon's over, that honeymoon period of our lives, and it's like, okay, now it's not just the crush or the puppy love or the, now it's covenant. Now it's like, okay, I'm in for life. Whatever's mine's yours. And you know what? I'm going to protect yours as mine. And see, and honor and respect factors in. But this all accounts, listen, it's the vision, it's the preferred future that God's given you. There's a preferred future for all of us. And you know what I believe, that a function and a role of the church, because the Bible says those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Man, you wanna talk about numbers? Man, Acts 16:5, they were strengthened in faith and increased in numbers. Man, the churches did. Man, the whole idea, I'm just telling you, the idea of this service, the message today, is to get you on a healthy, strong path to strengthen your faith in your life, to live by faith and live by trust, and your faith and your trust to be strong, immovable, unshakable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Man, that's the idea. That's where God wants us to be. The Bible calls that a perfect man, complete and perfect, lacking nothing, immovable, unshakable. Man, I'll tell you, the devil gives us a little pinprick and there's a little drop of blood and we're like, oh my, I'm bleeding. No. By faith, by trust, man, look at Hebrews 11th chapter, by trust these people. And you know what? Probably more ordinary people than you and I did incredible things. Why? Because they trusted God in who they were. Clear vision and strong culture wins. And you know what? That vision is just a preferred picture. Write the vision. Take responsibility. Write that in the margin of your Bible there in Habakkuk 2. Write the vision. Take responsibility. Make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. The vision of your life needs to be motivating, needs to be inspiring, needs to include other people. People need to want to hook up with what God's put in front of you in your life. Because Ephesians 4:16 says that we're all members of the body, knit and joined together where every joint supplies. If you're lacking supply in your life, it's simply the connectivity of your life. I mean, that's one thing I do pray for 2013, for our church, for the connectivity of our church to be so much stronger. Stronger than any temptation that's gonna hit your life. Temptations are gonna hit your life where the connectivity is so strong that it's like, yeah, I gotta be a church. Yeah, I'm not even gonna think about that, making a choice on that maybe darkness because man, my life is about the light. Because the whole idea is that, man, I've got a ton of people connected to me. I'm connected with them. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but the end, at the end of it, it'll speak. At the end of it, it'll speak. At the end of it, it'll speak. Here's what's interesting about this vision stuff. This is crazy, okay? But 10 or 12 years ago, we started talking about reaching college kids. There was this big vacuum in the church. The church started to get good at reaching high school kids. And every church, a minimum requirement of church, was a strong, vibrant youth, an exciting youth ministry. And then, you know what? It stopped. And then there was young adults. And there was young marrieds and singles, creepy singles ministries and stuff that... let's bring the lounge act in and let's have a meat market and call it singles ministry. And I don't know where that came from. We just don't do that here. But there was this gap amongst college-age kids. You'd raise your kids up, and then you send them to wherever to join a fraternity and light their hair on fire and run naked across the campus or something. I mean, it didn't make sense. So we started talking about the need in America for college church, the genuine need, knowing it was a transient, knowing that you'd have people for a year, two, three, 4 years. Or if you were like me, longer. I'm still in that education process. I think I'm still in college. But I look at this, and so we started talking, and this came out of my mouth, listen, because it's crazy talk. I have a dream to have a church on every major college campus in America. And I didn't think anything of it. I thought, we're cool. We serve a big God. And then I said it three or four more times. Like the sixth or eighth time I said it, I started thinking about what I was saying. And then I realized there's like 350 of those major colleges. It's like, you know, we've got like six guys huddled up planning. There's 350 of them. And I started realizing, it's probably not going to happen. So I quit saying it. I regret that today. There are churches all over this country that have college ministries on or near college campuses that they call sub 30. That's what we called it 10 years ago. That's the whole idea, the whole motivation of sub 30 was planting churches all over America. And you know what? And we're thinking, me and the mouse in my pocket, we're thinking we were gonna do it. Me, it's a vision. I got a big vision. Well, you know what's interesting? I had a big church in Jacksonville. Pastor called me, said, hey, we want to start a college church. And he met in Tallahassee and a couple other places, and we want to call it Sub 30, can we? I said, no, you can't. That's our name. No. He literally asked me four or five times. And then he called me. He said, Bill, you and I are friends. And I know you asked me not to call our college church Sub 30, but we're friends, so I'm doing it anyway. I let him. It's like, all right. And then they started popping up all over the place. And then I'm listening to a buddy of mine in Memphis that pastors a big church in Memphis that said, we have seven initiatives for 2013. The third initiative was a college church at the University of Memphis that they were calling Sub 30. They sent a team here to scout our Sub 30 and meet with our guys to take the information. And you know what? It hit me. There are college churches popping up on every major college campus in America. And what started 10 years ago as kind of goofy, was goofy speak. We wrote it down. We made it simple. But you know what? There was an appointed time for it. And you know what the Bible says? In the end, you'll know. And I realized, man, I judged this too quickly. And I only say that because maybe you've done that in your own life. Maybe you've judged this too quickly. Maybe there are missteps that you've taken. Maybe there are things that you've done to kind of sabotage the equation. But I'm telling you, God wants to do a new thing. And I'm telling you, that vision that God's put in your heart, that preferred future for you, I'm just telling you that I hopefully throughout this time, this little segment of time in our church is going to be indelibly marked in your heart, that you're going to be able to see it and realize it. And in the end, you'll know it. And that's the idea that God has for you, that, and though it tarries, behold, the proud, his soul's not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. Write the vision. Our culture is we live by faith. What's the vision? The vision, whatever, we live by faith. That's our culture. We live by trust. We trust God. Because in Genesis, the first chapter in the 27th verse, it talks that God made man in his image. And in our image, we make man, okay. But then in verse 28, what does verse 28 say? Then he blessed them, right? He blessed them. And what's the next thing that he did after he blessed them? He said, be fruitful and multiply, take dominion. You know what he did? He cast vision. That's all God's doing here is just casting vision. And you know what, man, Adam and Eve, man, are just stroking for God. They're going. And then the serpent came and just enticed Eve. And Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it was a forbidden fruit. And she ate it. And not only that, she handed it to Adam. And then Adam ate it. And I want to go back to responsibility. I want to go back to answerability. And I just want to tell you, here's God. He's looking for Adam. Adam, where are you? Adam's hiding in the garden. Adam sewed some fig leaves together and he puts it on. God says, what have you got on? He goes, man, just a little something I put together. And he said, why? He goes, because I was naked. God said, who told you you were naked? That's not a part of the vision. That's not our culture. And he said, well, God, it's that woman. It wasn't me. And then he realized that that noodle wasn't sticking to the wall. So he said, it's that woman that you gave me. He's blaming everybody he can. He's not taking any responsibility. What do you think would have happened to mankind? Just stop for a second. Because how many of you guys know God? How many of you guys know God? Answer me. How many of you guys know God? Okay. How many of you guys know God's a forgiving God and he's a once and for all forgiveness God? Huh? What if Adam would have come to God and said, God, I ate that fruit that you told me not to. God, please forgive me. God, I'm not even sure I knew what I was doing. I was deceived. And God, that woman you gave me, I didn't protect her. I take full responsibility. I'm answering for this. Adam couldn't do it. What if he would have? I thought about this a lot. God would have forgiven him. Egypt may never have been in bondage. Everything would have been different. I could rabbit trail there for a year, but I want to bring it back to center. Be responsible for the preferred future, the picture that God's put in your heart. Take responsibility for it. Answer for it. Because here's what the word says. Let the weak say. Let the poor say. Let the weak say. Let the poor say. See, that's what this is all about. We have to verbalize it. And then take it another step and write it down and make it plain so that it can help other people. Here's what I'm believing God for. I'm believing God in the last weekend of our 20th year of ministry, and we're celebrating the conclusion of that 20th year next week at 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock next week. You're sitting here at 11 now, 10 o'clock next week. We're only doing it for 1 week. It's not confusing. It's easy. You'll be here on time. But I'm believing God that the vision that God's put before you for the appointed time, that time is not linear time. Our obedience, our faithfulness, our submission triggers that time. That it's going to happen for you and happen quickly in the name of Jesus. God, we just love you and we praise you. God, we thank you for the vision you've given our life, the culture that you've set before us to live, who we are and how we do, whatever we do. God, that we're a people who are going to be in the right place with the right people. And God, do something great for you. God, I ask you for Acts 16:5 to come alive in every heart here in Skytook. God, every person, God, to be strengthened in faith, in trust. Not feeble in faith anymore, God. Not weak in faith anymore, God. But strong in faith and the power of your might. God, it's not about our bank account. It's not about our numbers. It's simply about our trust. And God, we put our trust in you now in the name of Jesus.
You've been listening to Guts Church On Demand with Pastor Bill Shear. Thank you very much for joining us today. And feel free to check out the website at gutschurch.com.